encountering you. Thank you that you are a God of surprises. And I pray that we are people who will welcome surprises. Many people, Lord, get stuck in ruts. But this is the way things have been. This is the way things are comfortable for me. And this is the way things should always be. Lord, I pray that we would repent of that kind of thinking and that we would be open to who you are and your surprises. Thank you, Father, that you have things for us that go beyond our ability to even imagine. The Scripture teaches us that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So we thank you, Lord, for a gathering of people that love you and who desire, Father, to participate with you in all that you want to do in us and with us and through us. And you're able to make grace abound to us, Lord, that is simply marvelous. Simply marvelous. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want to go through a couple of scriptures with you this morning that have to do with confidence, and that have to do with endurance, and have to do with not losing heart, because God has a great reward for those who are steadfast to the end. The Bible teaches us some. Let me read that scripture to you in the book of Hebrews, that God doesn't have any pleasure in those of us who shrink back. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 35. I'm going to jump around a few verses with us this morning, because I believe that God wants to encourage us to receive an impartation of his courage. How many of you want to receive courage? I ask that question not so much to elicit a response from you, but to inspire a response in your heart to the Lord, because he responds to us. If we shut down, he backs away. If we press nearer, he enters in. And I believe that when we do things like that, we're attracting the Holy Spirit for the work that he wants to do in our lives. And you have to understand that the Holy Spirit comes to do the work that God wants to do in our life, not what we want. This is not about, Lord, bless me. This is about, Lord, what do you want? Why was I created? What do you have for me? I love these kinds of questions, and I love when God begins to answer that, because it's always full of surprises. Because I have discovered that God didn't see me the way I saw myself. He saw me in a way that I couldn't imagine myself. And he began to work in me to fulfill what he saw. And who was the most surprised person? Me. I began to watch things come out of my life. I began to watch my thoughts and my feelings and my relationships change. The way I looked at myself, the way I looked at everybody around me, started to change. And I realized that this was really the work of God in me. So when we pray for thy will to be done and thy kingdom come, God believes that we actually mean that. That we're saying it and not in some kind of rhetorical way. Oh, it's part of the liturgy. This is what Jesus taught us to pray. So we say it without actually understanding the spiritual power of the invitation and the proclamation that you're making to the living God when you say, God, I want your will in my life. And he looks at you and says, you mean it? Don't tease me. Because I want to do my will in your life. And God is searching. I love this about the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 that the eyes of the Lord, this is an Old Testament euphemism, a way of describing the Holy Spirit, the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth searching for someone whose heart is turned towards God. Because in the natural, in our flesh, our heart is not turned towards God. You know, I was excited to hear that you're going to have an evangelistic campaign. And you know, when you get into the flow of evangelism, there's a joy that comes that doesn't come any other way. I have discovered this. And you know, one of the things that the Lord did in me is take me from being a very timid person to being a very bold person. And that's His work inside of me. And one of the ways that God did that work is through evangelism. And I learned how to overcome fear in evangelism, because some of you know my part of my testimony is the Lord called me in 1980 to preach on the streets of New York. And when He said that to me, it scared the daylights out of me, literally. Any day and light that was in me was gone. The only thing I had was night and darkness. I'm glad you're laughing. I was not. I was literally terrified, and I knew it was the Lord. He told me to get a little wooden box, to stand on a corner in Brooklyn where we were living and ministering, at a particular subway station at 5 o'clock when the rush hour was in its height, and preach to the crowds getting off the train. And this terrified me. And I want you to understand something. I had prayed for the will of God to be done. I wanted what God wanted in my heart, what God wanted for me, and God took me seriously. How many of you know that God will take you seriously? So here I am, Lord, I want Your will in my life. And He's saying, really? Okay, here's what I want. I want you to get a little box, a wooden box. I want you to stand on that corner, and at 5 o'clock every night, I want you to preach to the crowds about me. This, beloved, was not good news for me. I remember the moment He spoke it, and my response was as if, you remember the old slinkies, you know, those little things? Did you have them in Canada? Yeah? You're in America, you're in the Western world, right? And it was like my heart was a ball of, springy a wire, and it literally came apart. And what God was doing was exposing the roots of fear that were deeply ingrained in my life from experiences I had in childhood. And this fear literally overtook me. And there were times, this was in December of 1979, I remember it clearly, it was the Christmas season when the Lord spoke it to me in my prayer closet. It was in the middle of the winter. And this fear began to overtake me. And I was haunted by the fear. You know, it was like it was waiting in the other room where if I thought about it, it would overtake me. And it got to be so bad, there were times I was literally paralyzed with fear, that I was on the floor in my living room and I could not move, because the thought of doing this was utterly terrifying to me. And my beloved wife, Janet, you know, was a very bold person. You know, she was trying to find ways to help me. Well, I'll stand there. So at least one person is listening to you. And my oldest daughter was a little baby at the time. You know, and I'll put Brianna in the stroller and we'll stand there. And I would thank her and say, thank you, honey, but that's not helping. And, you know, that started in December. And I'm praying and praying and praying and trying to convince God that this was not a good idea. How many of you have ever tried to convince God that His idea was not a good idea? Lord, perhaps you don't understand. You know, or you've missed the, you know, this word that came to me really should have just kind of gone around to someone else. Someone who's bold. Someone who can really preach on the streets. And, you know, all these kinds of things. And somehow or another, I was never able to convince God that He was wrong. Have you gotten that revelation that you can't convince Him that He's wrong? He's very adamant, you know. He's got, this is what I want. And here's the challenge. Because I knew as I prayed through this that I was at a fork in the road. And that destiny in the purpose and calling of God was in the balance here of what I was choosing. And please understand, I